Time for a Tuesday Locked On Syracuse podcast. Tim Leonard here with you as we get you ready for VCU and the battle for Atlantis. We've got a full preview, everything you need to know about VCU and how they match up against Syracuse today, and we'll sneak in some football thoughts. It's all coming up on the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in and thank you for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single weekday. We are here with you guys, even through Thanksgiving week. We don't take holidays here. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts, and it's a big week for Syracuse athletics, so a great time to subscribe to the show as we got Battle for Atlantis, the big Pittsburgh game with bowl eligibility on the line, all coming up. And today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Sonos is the proud sponsor of ESPN College Football. So go to Sonos.com to learn more about them. It is just Tim Leonard today. If you're watching on YouTube, you probably gathered this. No Tyler Aki with me today. We couldn't line up with our schedule, so we'll hopefully have Tyler back on tomorrow on the podcast, but what we're going to do today is preview VCU and look ahead to football a little bit and some of our thoughts on the NC State matchup. But the VCU game is tomorrow, 5 p.m. tip. I said yesterday that it was a 3:30 p.m. tip, got crossed there, but it is a 5 p.m. tip. So what is VCU? Who are they? We'll dive into that today, and also we will get to four keys for Syracuse to win this matchup, and it's a matchup that I think Syracuse has a very good shot of winning, despite the fact that I think I'm lower on Syracuse than Tyler is at this point in the season. But VCU, you look at them, and this is why I feel pretty good about Syracuse's chances. They're basically the opposite team of Colgate. Their KenPom offensive rating right now is 235. Their KenPom defensive rating is 27th, so they're a very defensive-minded team. They have not scored more than 57 points in a game this season. Overall on KenPom, VCU is 109. They're 2-2 this season. Started out with a win over St. Peter's, 57-54. Lost to Wagner, which was a very disappointing loss, 58-44. And these are the type of games they play in the 50s, 40s range. Vandy was a 48-37 game. They did play 40 minutes in that game. They did win it, and somehow they won it with 48 points. So that's the type of style that they have. Then they lost to Chattanooga last time out by 2 points, who's not a very good team as well. So they've been a little bit shaky. They were projected to finish sort of middle of the pack in the A-10. And if you remember last year, they were projected to finish ninth in the Atlantic 10, but they made it all the way to the NCAA tournament, finished second in the conference. The problem was, because of COVID, they could not participate in the NCAA tournament. So sort of a new-look team this year because they lost their entire backcourt. Bones Highland was the big guy for them last year. He was their top scorer, one of the better scorers in the country. He's gone. He's off to the NBA. And then their other guy in the backcourt, Ace Baldwin, has been lost for a good chunk of the season due to an injury. So the interesting thing here is it's a very different challenge than what it was for Colgate, or Syracuse going up against Colgate, and it's entirely contrasting styles on the basketball court. Like, couldn't be more opposite styles when you look at Syracuse and VCU. When you just think about, Syracuse scored 85 points in their last game and they lost. VCU has not scored more than 57 points in a single game this season so far. So they both want to play entirely different styles, and that's why it's going to be a very intriguing matchup for Syracuse. You think about VCU, they're usually athletic. They are this year. They're quick. They're very long, have a lot of tight perimeter defense. They turn it over a lot because they play kind of an up-tempo style. They can't shoot the three ball at all, and they want to drive a ton. Then you look at Syracuse. They don't turn it over. They're offensive-minded. They have lots of jump shooters. They don't really have athletes, which VCU has. Maybe they have a couple, of course, Benny Williams and Frank Anselm, guys like that, but generally speaking, this is a very different style of team that Syracuse is going up against in VCU, and I think it favors Syracuse a lot more. So let's get into some of the keys as to why Syracuse, I think, should win this matchup. The four keys to this game for me starts with what is an interesting key coming off of the Colgate game, but make them beat you from the outside. I know we all saw the Colgate game and we saw Colgate rain threes on Syracuse, but this is a different team. VCU is shooting at 26.3% from three-point range. That's 308th in the nation. And they only rank 305th in the nation, according to KenPom, in attempts from three per field goals attempted. So what VCU prides themselves on is getting inside. They want to drive. They want to get shots up at the rim. 46.2% of their field goals attempted last year were at the rim, which is the 14th most mark in the nation. You might think, all right, so they have big guys, back to the basket players. Usually when a team is leading in that statistic, it's predicated on you might have a Drew Timmy type player, Luka Garza type player. That's not the case with VCU. They do have a couple big guys, which we'll touch on, but really, it's sort of like the Houston makeup where it's just a lot of athletes that are switching constantly man-to-man defense. They're long. They're going to pressure you a full 90 feet. And the fact that VCU is so focused on getting to the rim, but they don't do it based on post-ups and based on their presence of their big guys, tells you how often they are driving and they're getting their points off of dribble penetration, getting in the lane. They shot it pretty well, about 58% on their shots at the rim last year, and that's kind of what they've been doing all throughout this season as well. That is their makeup year in and year out. You kind of know what you're getting with VCU. It's always these athletic teams that Shaka Smart sort of instilled back in his days when they made that Final Four run where they're pressuring you for 90 feet. They pride themselves on defense, but they never really have shooters, and this year is no different. So if you're forcing VCU to shoot, and this is why I think the zone matches up really well against them, because what do? They get inside, they drive a lot, they score off of dribble penetration, right? It's going to be tough to do that against the 2-3 zone. I'm not that high on this iteration of the 2-3 zone. I don't really think the three-point defense is in a great spot right now. I'm a little more concerned about how they match up against teams long-term, but this is a great matchup for the Syracuse 2-3 zone because VCU is going to have a hard time penetrating. They're going to have a hard time getting in the lane. And because of that, they're going to be playing a totally different style on offense. Not to mention, their offense isn't good anyways when they're going up against bad defenses. And it's the type of team that, weirdly, you would probably zone for intentionally if you could. So Syracuse is already sort of well-prepped and well-matched up against VCU in that regard. I really think the fact that VCU, if they get into a three-point shooting contest here, that plays right into Syracuse's hands. And if they are shooting threes, they aren't playing the way they want to in this game. Second key for me, get back on defense for Syracuse. We've heard Jim Boeheim talk about this already this season. It's been brought up. They're not getting back. It seems like they've done a little better job. That was kind of the main emphasis after the Lafayette win, and that was the only weakness that we spotted on the defense. VCU wants to run. They're athletic. They want to get out in transition. They want to play up tempo. They want to make it so that they beat the zone up the court. Because as I talked about, when they're going up against the zone, that's not going to be great for dribble penetration driving. Their main key in this game is going to be trying to force Syracuse into turnovers, trying to get some transition buckets, and trying to score in the transition. Because frankly, even though Syracuse's defense, it sounds weird to say, they're 116 on KenPom. VCU is going to struggle to score on paper when the zone is set in this matchup because of how they like to score and because of how the zone prevents you from scoring that way. But they can turn you over. They're ninth in the nation in turnover rate. They're going to play that full court pressure. They're going to try and speed up the game. Knowing that they want to beat the zone up the court, Syracuse has to get back on defense in this matchup. We'll get to two more keys from this game, and then we will sprinkle in some football thoughts as well in just a little bit. But if you're a college football fanatic and you haven't heard of Prize Picks yet, I don't know what you're doing. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love it. I know you guys will as well. They are the leader in college sports daily fantasy right now and offer more college football props than anyone in the world and offer all kinds of player props, Power 5, mid-major, you name it. They've got it on their site, and all of our new users that deposit right now, or all users that deposit, use our promo code. It'll get you a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Just be sure to use the promo code, which is locked on, all one word. Basically, you pick 2 to 5 players and over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It is just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries as well, and they can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's very easy to use. Download the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON or go to your App Store and download the app. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. So two more keys now, and then we will dive into my pick on this game and also some football thoughts after that tough one against NC State. And we thank you for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single weekday. The other two keys, role players have to step up is one of them for Syracuse in this game. And I say that because this is something we talked about, Tyler and I, on the podcast a lot, but Buddy Boeheim, when length is on him, is not quite as lethal. Is Buddy still going to get his in this game? Probably. Is he going to get to his mid-range jumper? Yes. I'm pretty much it's matchup proof at this point, but there is going to be a tougher sort of way about getting to it in this game because VCU has the length. They have the guys to match up against him. They have the tight perimeter defense. And Syracuse's whole mindset of shooting the three, relying on the three, which I think is a little bit overblown because when you look at their numbers this year, they're not attempting a lot of threes. So that's a part of the reason why I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue here. But the reason why I say role players have to step up is because they're going to need some people to drive in this game. Those three-point shooters are going to be guarded very tightly. Cole Swider's already been guarded tightly, and he's been struggling a little bit. Buddy Boeheim's not going to get free range from three-point range. They're going to scout appropriately, and they have a very good three-point defense. Right now, 21% is what teams are shooting against VCU. Eighth best mark in the nation so far. Again, as bad as they are on offense, their defense is really good, and they're going to pressure you full court. Joe Girard's going to have to be careful getting the ball up the court. This is going to be a Houston-like defense that is tight on you on the perimeter. It's switching on everything. They have the bodies to match up. So the role players need to step up. I need to see guys like Symer Torrence, who's been able to get in the lane, finish. Benny Williams, Jimmy Boeheim, those are the guys that are sort of the playmakers of this Syracuse offense, weirdly enough, even though obviously Buddy Boeheim is a playmaker in his own right, but we haven't seen a lot from Cole Swider playmaking, bits and pieces here or there, but these role players need to step up because I think there is reason to believe that Buddy Boeheim struggles a little bit in this game. And by struggles, it's a different definition than struggles for another player on the team. He might be in the neighborhood of 12 to 14 points. I hope he proves me wrong. I hope he does excel against length. It's just, as we've talked about on this podcast, Leaky Black, some of these longer defenders, Dejon Giroux of Houston last year, have given him fits. VCU has the guys to match up, and they also have the guys to close out your airspace, get up in your jersey, play tight. That's given Joe Girard some fits in the past as well. So if Girard and Buddy aren't scoring, who else has been scoring this year, right? Like, that's what we talked about on our recap podcast. Who's the third option? Cole Swider needs to step up. Maybe it's Jimmy Boeheim in this game. Maybe it's the game where Benny can kind of attack and finish at the rim. They do have some pretty good rim defenders as well and shot blockers. So it's going to be tough to score on VCU, but I think it's a little overblown the fact that Syracuse is living and dying on the three. Maybe they're living and dying on the way that Colgate is shooting the three in the last game. But offensively speaking, they've only attempted like the 250th most threes attempted per field goals attempted on KenPom so far. They're not settling for threes. They are a very good three-point shooting team. And I don't know if they're going to be able to make more than seven or eight in this game against VCU because of the way VCU defends you out there. But I think they'll be fine because they've done a nice job of getting in the lane. It's just more of finishing. And they still managed to get to 85 points last game. That was against Colgate. This is going to be a completely different test. Next key here. It's the obligatory key for every Syracuse basketball game for the remainder of time, probably. Rebound the basketball. And I'm not even putting that from a key from a standpoint of VCU rebounds well. They actually don't, which is another reason why I like Syracuse in this matchup. You look at the numbers for VCU. 275th in offensive rebound rate right now in KenPom, 338th in defensive rebound rate. Remember, they want to get out in transition. They want to get up the court, up tempo. So they're not necessarily focused on crashing the glass on the offensive end. They're not necessarily putting out a lineup that has a 7-footer or something like that, that's going to be one guy that's going to give us tons of fits on the glass. They are a team that's athletic, that's got high jumpers, that probably has a decent chance of out-rebounding Syracuse. But that's, I say that because Drexel and Colgate out-rebounded Syracuse as well. And that's why it's a key here. That's why we're making this a mandatory thing, because when Syracuse out-rebounds their opponent, they're really solid. When they don't, they struggle. So it's an opportunity for them to get right in the rebounding column, and you have to take advantage of that. As for how I think this game's going to go on my pick, I thought about this a lot, and before I looked into VCU, I'm worried about Syracuse in general right now. I'm worried about how they fare in the battle for Atlantis, given how they fared in some of these non-conference type moments. Now, you could say the last time they went to the Bahamas, they did win the tournament. So I hear you on that. And I think Tyler brought up a good point the other day, how teams can't really prepare for the 2-3 zone once you get into the second and third game, sort of like maybe what we see in the NCAA tournament a little bit. But I'm worried because the 2-3 zone has a lot of work to do after what we saw against Colgate. I say all that, though, and I still feel really confident Syracuse is going to win this game against VCU just because of how they match up. It is the entirely different type of matchup that Colgate was. And, you know, I think there's a lot of warts in the 2-3 zone, but I also think it can be true that it was exposed against a team that was well-equipped to expose it. Colgate had spot-up three-point shooters. They wanted to chuck threes all game long. If VCU is chucking threes, I feel great. Now, hopefully I'm not swallowing my words and they just have one hot shooting day here in the Bahamas, but I feel good. I feel like Syracuse is in a good spot to bounce back here. They're going to be highly motivated, you would think, and they've actually done pretty well offensively. So as much as it's a great test for their offense and their three-point oriented team, I think they'll be able to get in the lane a little bit and score enough. And the big weakness with this team is defense. And I joked about, all right, well, who's a good matchup for Syracuse? This is it. If you're not stopping VCU, then holy cow, I don't know who this defense is going to stop this year, because offensively they have struggled to score against anyone. They won a game against Vanderbilt, like I said, with 48 points. They want to play in a completely different style. It's sort of weird that they want to play up tempo, even though they don't score a lot. That's kind of a contrasting mix. But I think Syracuse is going to win this game pretty easily. I haven't seen a spread from betonline.ag yet, but I would take the orange. Somewhere in the neighborhood of probably a 68-52 type win. I'm that confident in it. And again, I'm the guy of the two of us on this podcast that isn't that confident in Syracuse overall. So we'll see how they fare the rest of Battle for Atlantis. We'll see how they fare as this non-conference schedule heats up here. But if you're looking at a matchup standpoint, Syracuse has a big edge in this game. So I would be pretty confident in betting the Orange to win. I think it'll be low scoring too, because the zone is going to give VCU fits, and also VCU just plays low scoring no matter who they're going against. Even some of these teams that I mentioned, like a Wagner and a Chattanooga that have beaten them, like, come on. I mean, if Wagner and Chattanooga are holding you to the neighborhood of 45-55 points, the zone, it really does match up well against a team that can't shoot and rely so much on dribble penetration and driving, and they don't rebound that well. So it's a perfect matchup for Syracuse. It's a perfect get-right game in my eyes, and I think they will win. I'll say 68-52 is my official prediction there. We will get into some football thoughts in just a second, but this is it. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours, but on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite, and right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind finance program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-the-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses, netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. And I mentioned betonline.ag is our trusted source for all our Syracuse spreads. Haven't seen one yet, but again, I like the orange, and it is Thanksgiving, so we all know what that means. Football, laying on the couch, stuffing your face with football, betting on football. What a fun way to spend Thanksgiving with your family, right? Just betting on games. Nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. They remain your number one spot for all sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, the promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet online. We are stuffed with deals for Thanksgiving. Okay, so football. First off, two good things that came across. We'll start with the positives because I know it's a tough time for football right now. Two good things I saw that Dino Babers talked about in his press conference. First off, the facilities. Big upgrade there. Seems like they're gathering money for a brand new Manly Fieldhouse type of facility, which is well overdue in my eyes. And honestly, when we, Tyler and I, did the "Your John Wildhack for a Day" athletic director, what is your first order of business type of podcast that we've done in the past, and we've had that those type of conversations, I've always pointed to this. I think the South Campus living arrangements, just the whole appeal nowadays of basically the rat race of recruiting, Syracuse lacked behind. I mean, they already don't have a great climate. We all know about that. I don't have to go into it. But they were way behind in facilities to some of their peers in terms of a Louisville, a Pittsburgh even. And those are the teams you're recruiting against. And like it or not, these kids care a lot about that these days. I mean, they go on these tours and it's so much about posting on social media the cool things that are there. The living arrangement is a big part of it. They care a lot about the off-campus life, as they should, and Syracuse was lagging behind. So the fact that they have raised some money for football facilities is overdue and a nice step, and I think that'll be actually very helpful in recruiting down the road, and it's really hurt Syracuse in recruiting. If anything, it's been sort of underlooked how much it has hurt Syracuse in recruiting, in my mind, in the past, really, Dino Babers era, 5-10 years, because since he has taken over, it's become a real rat race in that regard for facilities. The other thing I love to see, Chris Elmore is back. I guess it comes with some bad news because he's not going to be on the field for Pittsburgh, but he's redshirting coming back next year. It's been underrated how much that has probably impacted this offense in the past couple weeks here. Also didn't have him at the start of the year. He's a big part of what we try to do offensively, especially leaning in more to the run game and all that. So good to see that he is coming back. And as far as where I stand with football right now, it's pretty simple. They have one more game left. And if they win that game, I think it was a successful season. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that right now after the way they played in the last two games, but if we're looking back on this season 5 years from now and they beat Pittsburgh this Saturday, that's all we really remember. Oh, yeah, that was the year they went bowling. Remember, they beat Pittsburgh. Garrett Schrader led them to a bowl game. Now, we don't even think about NC State Louisville and the disaster that it was the past couple games. If they lose this game, I mean, this game's everything, as we all know, because it's for bowl eligibility, and it's a tough task, and I don't necessarily know if they're going to be able to do it. I would put it probably 30% that they win this Pittsburgh game, and we'll talk about it more later on in the week. But if they lose this game, it's, oh, that was another year that Dino collapsed after the bye. That's what it is. So this game's everything. You have the opportunity, despite how bad you have been on offense and defense, really, 41 points back-to-back weeks, you have the opportunity to prove that, or you have the opportunity basically to make those games not matter long-term. I know it's still fresh on our minds right now, and that sounds silly, but you get to 6 wins, that's a successful year, especially given that a lot of people were projecting 3-4 wins going into the year. It would be a real bummer if they don't get to 6 wins, though, because that would require another collapse to get to that point. And it wasn't injury-based this time. It wasn't because Eric Dungy got hurt, and you don't really have that to fall back on. So now we're getting into a theme, a trend from Dino Babers' teams that is really concerning, that maybe they can't make adjustments late in the season. Teams are starting to figure them out. And I think that's been a lot of what has happened in the past two games here. The novelty, the newness of this offense, it's been figured out. And Garrett Schrader is all of a sudden being forced into some tougher spots. He's being asked to do things, coming from behind, making throws that we all kind of knew deep down he couldn't really make. He did make them against Virginia Tech at one point in the season. I'll give him that. But I don't know what has happened in his throwing. I mean, it hasn't been good from the beginning. I know that. But there was some hope that after Virginia Tech, okay, maybe if this guy figures out how to pass, we have something here long term. We have something after an offseason of him learning this offense some more. Sean Tucker's coming back. A lot of guys will get the wide receiver position a little bit better. Now that's really fizzled, and now the conversation is, do we need to add a transfer at the quarterback position this offseason? That's probably going to continue to be the conversation. But this is a huge game because it changes the entire complexion of how you view the season. I do think Pittsburgh's a better matchup for Syracuse than NC State was. I basically went into the NC State game and assumed it was a loss, and it's easy for me to say that now, but you can go back and listen to our preview podcast if you want to bore yourself. It was how Tyler and I were thinking. They did not match up well against NC State. On the road, a team that hadn't lost at home all year, that's offensive-minded, or defensive-minded, excuse me, and they also can stop the run. Now, Pitt is pretty good against the run. That's the one thing I'll say. But I think we hung with Wake Forest, which is kind of a comparison for Pittsburgh. The way that Pitt wins games is shootouts, and I like your chances more in that. It's inside the dome. Maybe the crowd gets involved. The offense just hasn't ever gotten into second gear these past couple weeks, with the exception of like one Sean Tucker run when it made it, I think, 14-7, and then they ran back the kick, and that was our only glimmer of hope of maybe the offense finding something. Really, in the first quarter against NC State, the only time they moved the ball was based on penalties. So the offense has a better chance of getting into second gear, which gets them into third gear and fourth gear. If you can't get past first gear in this offense, it's a long and tough road. And I say that because I know now they're not as up-tempo and fast-paced. And when Dino came to Syracuse, so much of it was get that first down and then get the next first down so that the team is tired, and then you get into your rhythm, and that's where the offense is really going to shine. It's a little less of that now, but it's still in there in the DNA. And the play calling, obviously, we talked about a lot this year in the podcast, has not been good, especially coming off a bye. And it's almost like I was talking about this with the ESPN Syracuse guys, Paulie and Stephen Fonte, when I hopped on with them yesterday. You look back and you're like, how did they score 30, 40 points in some of these games with Schrader and such a one-dimensional offense going against ACC competition? Teams are starting to figure out, it's starting to sort of find its water there. But Pitt is a team you can score on, so that's why I think it's a better matchup. We'll have more on Pittsburgh throughout the week. And, of course, our next podcast, so this is an important note because the game is tomorrow at 5. So we have three games over the next 3 days. We have three podcasts left this week. What we're going to do is just give you a recap pod on all those games and look for it. I mean, we don't know the exact time of the Thursday and Friday games yet, but it'll be in your feeds a couple hours after the game's complete. So wherever you get your podcast, look for it there. Subscribe if you haven't already. You'll get a reminder. Subscribe to the show on YouTube because you can watch all our podcasts there. We're just going to give you reaction recap podcasts, and we'll, of course, preview the next game a little bit. So it's going to be basketball-focused. The Friday podcast will probably be a couple segments basketball. And if you're a football fan, you stuck around for this part, we'll talk some Pitt. We'll get you to Bundo's Digits, Prop Shop, that type of stuff. It's a busy week, but it's hopefully going to be better than the last weekend for Syracuse basketball. It's kind of like we're entering the weekend now as we get into Thanksgiving. So that's going to wrap up our Tuesday podcast. Hopefully I have Tyler Aki back with me tomorrow, so you won't have to listen to me ramble all day long. But we thank you for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single weekday. Look for us recapping the VCU game, which, fingers crossed, I think Syracuse has a good chance to win. That'll be up in your podcast feeds probably Wednesday night, somewhere in the neighborhood of 9:30 Eastern time. Once I wrap up some work there for the Syracuse game, we'll record and get our live reaction to that. So until then, enjoy the game. Hopefully it's a better one than the Colgate game, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.